What's up, everyone? Titan Sound Podcast here, Heart God Media. Eric and I are here, and we're going to give you our top albums of 2023. Year's closing out. We always do these lists. We'll do a movie one where at least we'll talk about movies. I don't know if I'll even have a list, but here we are, Eric. We're talking all the albums that came out that have entered our top 10 list that we compiled these lists. And yeah, it's always interesting to see what lands on my list, what lands on your list. So I feel like it was a relatively strong year for music. I feel like there's always a lot that's coming out. I mean, but it isn't always easy to compile these lists.
No, not always. I think this year was a good year for music, for sure. I mean, I think there's just so much stuff that comes out nowadays that it's, I was telling you before we started recording that, like, even stuff that comes out earlier in the year, I forget that it's, you know, oh, that was last year. But I would say that 2023 was a strong year for new music. I think that I could fill, I mean, if I, very easily, I think I could fill out a 15, top 15 if I really needed to. But yeah, I mean, I always like doing these lists too with you because I like to see what we have that crosses over and stuff like that. Yeah, music such plays such a big role in our lives. So getting to talk about the stuff that we really like is always a lot of fun.
No, for sure. And yeah, I did. I kept my EPs separate, just kind of because I had enough. I had enough to compile a short list of EPs on top of having, you know, a top 10 of full length. So I just did those separate. But regardless, I'm always interested to see what we have, what we crossed over with, more importantly, what we didn't cross over with, because there are usually, you know, there's some blind spots that I have and that you have. And it's always cool to discover new music if you can.
Here's a question I always ask. I think we talked about this before, but I just threw EPs on my full list. But nowadays, would you rather have a band that you like put out an EP or a full length? I know that may sound like a dumb question, but
depends on the band.
Yeah, right. I actually think sometimes I would rather have a band I love put out something with maybe less than 10 songs. You know what I mean? Not that I do. I just think sometimes it's easy to get lost in the sauce, so to speak.
If there's if it's a newer band, I'm fine with a full length. If it's a band that only has a couple releases out, I'm fine with it. If it's a band that has 16 albums out already, I don't need another full length.
That's actually a good point. Yeah, if it's a veteran band.
And honestly, of all those new songs, how many of those are those band is that band going to play? One, when they're touring for the record, they're going to play one, maybe two, and then in 2 years, you're probably not going to hear any songs on those records. Once in a while, one will pop, it'll pop back up. But I mean, for Alkaline Trio, for example, I feel like they have a lot of records out now. How many songs are they playing from My Shame Is True or This Addiction right now?
Yeah, I mean, I recently saw them, and yeah, not obviously, as you can imagine, not many. So
I couldn't imagine that. That's what like kills me too, is like, and it's not that any of the albums are bad necessarily, but there's so much that you literally could have 3-4 album. If you've been around for 20, 25 years or longer, and you have 16 albums, you could have 7 albums worth of material that you don't play anything from. So what's the point of having those? I mean, I understand having your discography be huge. But if you're not playing 45 songs a night,
right?
What's the point of releasing new music at this point? I understand you got to, it's just, it's kind of is what it is. You got to push your product, and that's the whole thing. But I think I do think you're seeing bands being a little more strategic about what they do.
I think a lot of it is, like you said, it's I mean, there's many factors that probably go into it. Like, obviously, you're an artist and you probably want to have that output. But also, yeah, I mean, it's a business and you want to make, and for some bands, of course, you want to make money as well. Or you know, you want to, it's your career. So, but yeah, I, you know, a lot of factors probably play into it. But yes, I think some of these bands with huge catalogs, like you said, you see them play and playing for an hour and a half or whatever, like maybe you're touching a song, one song on those albums. Some of those, you know, like you said, middle of the road albums. So I could see how it would be better.
But yeah, it depends on the band. If I really like the band and I want more, the most music out of them, yeah, I'll usually be more pumped on a full length as opposed to an EP. But yeah, it's ever changing, the music industry, as to what makes sense either for the people listening and or for the artist or whatever. So it's always interesting to see where we are. I mean, I feel like more EPs are coming out because I think some of these bands are embracing the, you know, having 4 to 5, 6 songs max out. It's easier for people to consume, especially because on streaming services, people are just clicking on the song that they want. They're not listening to full albums. It's not like the way it used to be.
No, for sure. For sure. You're 100% right about that. So,
but all right. We can go back and forth if you want.
Sure, sure. You would like a 10, like work our way back 10 to 1.
Yeah.
All right, perfect. Yeah, yeah. I'll start. I mean, I'll just throw my number 10 out there. My number 10 is Gaslight Anthem's History Books. At number 10, just got the vinyl in finally.
Nice, nice.
Yeah, I mean, you know, without going too deep onto these, I know we're gonna kind of work our way through, but yeah, I mean, Gaslight, one of my favorite bands. Maybe not their strongest record, but I listened to it a bunch since it's come out. I think it's really great songwriting and just another step in their evolution as a band of what their sound is like. So
nice. I haven't really listened to them much since maybe Handwritten. And what was that record they put out? Was it called The Hurt Process? Am I thinking of that?
Yeah.
Like I listened to that a little bit, but
yeah, they've worked their way. Obviously, they sound a bit different than those records there, but yeah, still great. I mean, Brad Fallon is a great songwriter. The whole band is really tight, and they collab with they got Springsteen on this record, which is, you know,
that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. But all in all, a great record. How about you? Number 10.
Number 10 is by a band, I guess you can't necessarily call them a straight up hardcore band. You can't call them a straight up like a crossover band, but Drain, Living Proof. Really like this band. They do a lot of cool stuff. It's almost like if Municipal Waste were true blue hardcore kids trying to do a band. It's very, you know, there's some thrash elements, there's metal elements, there's hardcore elements, there's old school punk elements. This record also featured a Descendants cover. I'm a big Descendants fan. So, yeah, sure. It's a cool record. I just love their aesthetic of just being just straight up California guys. And like, they just make teal merch with sharks on it. And
yeah, yeah, I mean, I would say that, I've listened to that record, but the hype for that band, and I think the reason why I listen to it is, you know, like some new stuff comes out and it's easy to gloss over, but the hype for them has been so real. And just, you could tell, I guess the word I think of is fun. They just seem super fun. I mean, the songs are fun. Everything that comes with them seems fun. So, but yeah, the hype, the Drain hype is real for sure.
For sure.
That's awesome. So my number 9 is, a local PA band here, the Menzingers. Some of it was true. Big Menzingers fan, local to this. Well, from from the Scranton area and now Philly. But I was intrigued that for this record, the first couple singles they put out, I really liked. And then when the record came out, same. I mean, I think it's a strong record. There's some really like bangers on the album. And then, you know, there's a couple maybe songs as we get further along you would skip over. But all in all, great record. And those guys are another ones that are just kind of working their way towards, you know, every record that comes out, they kind of solidify their overall sound. And I'm a fan, so. Some of it was true, Menzingers.
Nice. My number nine is Blink-182's One More Time. Return Tom DeLonge back to the band with Skiba's exit back into Alkaline Trio. Yeah, it just sounds like classic Blink. Obviously, with them being older, it's a fun record. Like, it's super easy to listen to, even though there's like 17 songs. It's awesome. It's fun. It makes me feel like I'm fucking 13 again. So it's it was cool. It was cool to get that kind of record from them at this point.
So someone, obviously I'm familiar with Blink-182, of course. I mean, I listened to a lot of the early records, kind of fell off after a while. Where does this, like, for you, like, does this have a sound from some of their recent stuff, or the, like, I just don't really know, like where are they at? Like, is this kind of a, like, have they taken a different step with this where they sound different, like, musically?
No, they probably took a step more back into, like, what they were sounding like in as far as, like, the early 2000s. But at the same time, like, there's still those elements that made them sound what they sounded like when their sound kind of shifted into, like, less of a more jokier band. But there is like an old Boxcar Racer song on here that they turned into a Blink song that was just laying around that they never put on that Boxcar record because it wasn't finished. So there's elements of that. I feel like it's got elements of everything that all of them have done within the world of, you know, that sounds like that Blink-182, Boxcar Racer, Plus 44, all eras of Blink. So it's definitely a Blink record. It feels classic, but feels different at the same time.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, that's awesome. Like I said, I haven't really listened to too much of the last some odd records. I obviously, being such an Alkaline fan, I try to check out that first record with Skiba and some of the songs that he contributed on lyrically, or vocally, I should say. I thought they were cool. So the hype for, I mean, Blink-182 is it's always, we always have this conversation about those bands that just got super, super huge. And not that it's baffling, because they're obviously talented, but it's just, I think it's kind of crazy how gigantic Blink-182 has become. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Big time.
But that's awesome, man. And what was the name of that record?
One More Time.
One More Time. That's right. Perfect. Perfect. I guess so. On to my number eight. This is a band you would be familiar with. Well, speaking of hype, is Military Gun, Life Under the Gun.
Nice.
Yeah, their sound, you know, when these bands come around, again, like, when you listen to them, like, there's something that's got to grab you, and there's just something about these guys, their energy, lyrically, just the overall sound is just, again, like, super fun. Now, was this produced by
Taylor?
Yeah, Taylor, right. Taylor Young produced this one, right? So,
yep.
Yeah, I mean, I just think they're super fun, and I think they're kind of, from what I see, almost like bridging the gap a little bit, almost like a Turnstile, where they're playing like some, maybe some fests that you wouldn't see a lot of bands play, you know, like some of the more popular fests. So I think that's really cool. But this record was a lot of fun. I think I was, I've been really hammering it lately. So yeah, I'm not even sure where these guys are from, actually, to be honest with you.
They're from Southern California, I think.
California boys, yeah. I guess that translates. But yeah, record's super cool. I'm excited to see what these guys produce in the future, for sure.
Yeah, I listened to that record. I haven't really absorbed it, but I did think it was cool.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
My number eight is a newer band. It's their debut full length. I know you and I are fans of this band. Koyo, Would You Miss It? really like this record. I just started to hear like a little bit about them, and then you told me, you're like, yeah, that Coil band's really good. So then I kind of deep dove into the little bit that they had out, because of the this full length wasn't even out. And yeah, this record's cool. Kind of has a throwbacky vibe, Long Island band. One of those bands that's like obviously a pop punk band, but they're from the hardcore scene, so they rep the hardcore scene very hard. But yeah, like this record a lot. Definitely like listened to it over and over again when it came out.
Right on. You will. Yes, I love this record. So perfect. And just how about Long Island? Just like bands in that genre too. Just so many legends, legendary bands, which is really. I mean, just. And they're going to add to. They're going to be. I think they're going to do a lot of great things. So. I
think so too.
Number seven for me is Philadelphia's Baroness. The record is called Stone. Baroness is so cool. They have such a, I don't even know, like eclectic sound to them that it's really tough to pinpoint, you know, genre, which I love about them. You know, they've played with all different kinds of bands. And this record is the same. Like every song just kind of takes you on this weird road down all different kinds of paths. But, song like lyrically, the way they deliver the lyrics and the music, it's just, it's all really wild stuff and just phenomenal songwriting. This record is I guess similar to their other stuff, but there was a lot of hype for this one, and I think it lived up to it. It's a really fun record. If anybody likes any other Baroness stuff and hasn't listened to this one, they would for sure like it. So
nice. I stopped listening to that band, not on purpose, just kind of lost track of them. I think right around Yellow and Green. I know they had a bad like accident and then members left, and I kind of really hadn't listened to them since then.
Yeah, I mean, definitely check out their new record. I think you would dig it. I mean, if you dig the other stuff, yeah, for sure. It's cool. I mean, I think at one point they like opened for Metallica, which I always found was wild.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure for Metallica once or twice. So
yeah, they definitely did.
Pretty awesome.
My number seven, Harm's Way, Common Suffering. First Harm's Way record in over 5 years. And yeah, I love this band. Super heavy, super dark, atmospheric. Big fan of their entire their catalog. So getting a new record after all this time was really cool, and this is another solid outing from the Chicagoites, known as Harm's Way.
Nice, man. Such a fun band. Like when we saw them in Philly, that was such a. We saw them, right? They played with Twitching Tongues that show, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that was such a great show. Are they on Metal Blade?
Yeah, on Metal Blade. Yep.
And this one was a Metal Blade release as well, right?
Yep. I'm in Closed Casket doing the vinyl and shit.
Yeah, that's so rad. I would say one of the bigger bands in they've become like one of the bigger bands in hardcore, wouldn't you agree? Like,
yeah, they're definitely like a cornerstone band for sure.
Yeah, that's awesome. And they all have the same, you know, same members pretty much, right? Like none of those guys have left, we know.
Mostly, yeah. Not in a while. They haven't had a lineup change in a long time.
That's awesome. That Chicago scene. Awesome. And that was what, your number seven, right?
Yep.
Perfect. Perfect. Six for me would be my first EP of this list, and it's going to go to, in my opinion, like the legends, Hope Conspiracy, Confusion, Chaos, and Misery. The return, it was kind of a surprise, the return of Hope Conspiracy. You know, just a band from my youth as well. Like when we first started going to hardcore shows, they were playing a lot then. I would say, this is my opinion, I don't know if everyone agrees, but like somewhere along the way, they got a little bit darker, I guess we would say, heavier and darker. Death Knows Your Name and stuff like that. But this EP, this is a lot of fun. I mean, it's, you know, I think it's only five songs, something like that. Just in your face, typical Hope Conspiracy stuff, just super nostalgic. And I'm glad that they're still making music. They're just legends. So,
yeah, like another band I never got deep into, but obviously just, huge in the, you know, growing up, like it was one of the first bands I remember hearing about, like getting into heavier music. That was a band that like was always talked about.
Yeah, I just feel like also like they just kind of took a more, I don't, it sounds so cheesy to say, but like a, I don't know, they almost got like more pissed and just like kind of darker and heavier, and that's like this follows suit with that, like the Death Knows Your Name vibe for sure. But it's a lot of fun, and I hope this means maybe that they'll tour and maybe even more music. But the EP, it's like we talked about with the EP, right? Like they put out the EP, cool. So yeah, man.
Yeah, the my next my number six is another Chicago band. Love this band. Love everything they've done. Most of everything they've done. Fall Out Boy, so much for Stardust. Their first record in a few years, I think 5 years too.
Nice.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same. More or less the, it was way better than the last record, because the last record is definitely the worst, but yeah, this is more of the same from them. The same kind of stuff they've been pumping out for the last 10 years since they reformed. But yeah, it's a cool record. Really like it a lot. It's easy. It's table candy for me. Like I'll eat it up. So,
you know what I'll say about you too as well? Like your loyalty to certain bands, I think, is amazing. You know what I mean? Like a lot of people would just, and I'm not saying this, I think it's awesome. Like, you know what I mean? You know, how many people listen to Fall Out Boy's early records and then just wrote them off, you know? And then I'm not just them, a lot of bands like that, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But, I mean, there's usually elements of bands that just I really like, and they keep most of that intact. So,
well, it's like you and I know, I mean, there are ties also to the underground scene as well. You know,
big
guys
time.
Being in other bands and collabing with, you know, on people's records, I think it's an awesome thing. So I'm sure that there's, you go to a Fall Out Boy show, you're probably not going to get along with everyone in the crowd, but there's, you know, you still love them, and that's great.
Yeah.
That may be something I should do. I should maybe like give a deep dive to all their records. Because, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if I've ever listened to anything, like actually sat down and listened to all of their most recent records. And I think I should do that.
Yeah, they're good. They're all over the place. They get pretty theatrical at some points, and then even some shit though, they kind of go back rootsy stuff. They're all over the place mostly.
Yeah, they played what was it, at the beginning of the year, I think they played like some, they did an NHL event and played live, and it was really rad. It was really awesome. And one of the, I was telling you recently, the one guitarist, I believe he's like into comic books, and he and a couple other guys just put out a comic book from a company I really like. So
no
I thought that
shit.
Was really, yeah. What is the one guitarist name?
Joe Troman.
That dude, yeah. So
yep.
he I'm not sure if he writes it, but yeah, he's put out with Image Comics, which is a big comic company. He just had a new series drop called the Holy Roller that looked really cool.
Nice.
Yeah, man. It's a lot of fun. Moving on. Five now, right?
Yep.
So number five for me is a band called As Friends Rust, Any Joy. This came out on N Hits Records, which is a foreign record company distributed by Deathwish. So, and you would know, As Friends Rust was like an older band. I always saw them, their name, but I never really listened to them. And then a couple years ago, I discovered a group called Damien Dunn, and I was really into them. And the singer had like this kind of distinct voice, and I was like, oh, this sounds really cool. And then I discovered that his name was Damien Moyle, and he was at one point the lead singer of As Friends Rust. So I kind of dug a little bit deeper on As Friends Rust, and I kind of got into some of their stuff, more so the stuff that he sang on. And then they just happened to put out this record this year. But yeah, it's really awesome. It's kind of a nice blend of, like, you know, I wouldn't even, you know, like hardcore, like punk, but he has a really distinct voice.
Yeah,
and
big
I,
time.
yeah, I mean, I really just, I don't know, something, I kind of just fell in love with that voice. So, so he actually, in his other band, Damien Dunn, put out a record this year that is really good as well. That's probably would be on my honorable mentions, but A band that I think had some impact but didn't have a huge discography. But this record's really good. I implore anyone to check it out. This, like I said, came out. You can get it on De at Death Wish as well. So.
Yeah, I remember getting a comp that had a bunch of labels on it called Make Like a Tree and Leave, and it had like Doghouse Records, Fiddle Records, all that shit, and
Yeah, because I
all
think
that had American Nightmare on it. You know what I mean? It had American Nightmare on it. It had As Friends Rust, Jimmy Eat World. Like it had like a lot of bands on it. That's where I found that band.
that's awesome. And you know how it is, man. Like we've been listening to music a long time. It's like you see these bands, like some you just never check out. It's like
Oh,
never
yeah.
listen to them. And then yeah, I discovered them later in life. But I mean, they're so awesome, and I kind of regret not listening to them earlier. But this record's really good, so.
Yeah, I love that one record. I think the one record they have is called One, I think.
I think so. Yeah, like they're crazy because they don't have a lot of releases, and I know they had a different singer. I'm pretty sure, like he didn't sing on all their stuff. So,
Right. But yeah, yeah, I like that band a lot, so I definitely want to check that out.
hell yeah, man.
Number five for me, Richie Ramone, Live to Tell. Love all of Richie's solo stuff. This is his third full length that he's put out. This is really cool. He always does a cover. And he did a Cry Little Sister by G Tom Mack cover on this record.
That's awesome. I think you played that for
Yeah, it's really good, and the whole record's really good, and he keeps kind of like a Ramones spirit, and definitely his era of the Ramones alive. His drummer, actually, because he sings for half the set and then drums and sings for half the set, but the drummer that is in his band actually just passed away, just like a couple days ago. So RIP to that dude. Total bummer, but yeah, this
Yeah.
record's great. Like I said, keeping the spirit of the Ramones alive, definitely like his era too. And he just nails it. And this might be his best record so far.
That, you gotta love a guy like that who's just still like out there doing it for himself, right? Like, you know,
Yeah,
just
post heart
doing.
attack too. Post open heart surgery. So,
Oh, really?
oh yeah.
That's awesome. And I know you've seen him a couple times. You said he put on a really good show, right?
Yeah, he's awesome. I've seen him, I think, 4 times now, and he literally, as soon as he's done playing, he bum rushes over to his merch and starts signing shit for everybody. He doesn't charge. Like, he's just the man.
One of the real ones. That's
Oh
awesome,
yeah.
man. That's cool. Put out a new record this year. And he's got to be up there, I got to imagine.
Yeah, I think he's in his mid-60s now. I think he's
Yeah.
65, 66.
Hell yeah. Someone who's not out there making millions of dollars and still doing it like for
No,
the record.
he's fucking roughing it for sure.
Yeah, so. Perfect. All right. So I guess we're at number four. We're in the top five now. So number four for me is a record by a songwriter named Jason Isbell. Jason Isbell is like probably outside of like punk and hardcore and stuff, he's like probably my favorite songwriter. Dude is just a master, a legend in my eyes. Pays a lot of, I mean, his musically, he's probably in like the Americana country style, I guess, but you know, he's a fan of all kinds of music, and he lived a hard life at one point, so it pulls out in his songwriting. Yeah, so it's a great record, and that came out earlier this year. Weather Vanes, Jason Isbell. He's the one I think I sent you once. He did when Metallica did those, where they had other people do other songs. Did one, put a cool spin on that.
Nice.
So, dude, he's from Alabama.
Is he younger or older?
He's a little bit older. He's probably. I gotta think he's a bit older than us. I would say he's probably in his 40s. He used to be in a band that was like kind of in the alt country, like Lucero style. They're called the Drive By Truckers, which were kind of big. That's kind of where he got his start. And then he had a bit of an alcohol problem, and then got cleaned up and went solo. So, but yeah, he's
Nice.
a bit older than us. But yeah.
My number
Number.
four. That was your number four, right?
Yep, four. Yep.
Four. My number four is John Carpenter's Anthology 2. Obviously an all instrumental. Carp just redoing his themes. They sound fucking awesome with his godson, Daniel Davies, and his son Cody. Just awesome. It's awesome to hear, you know, these songs freshened, these tracks freshened up, and it's just, it's Carp. He's the man, and he's as prolific with his movies or with his music now as he ever was with his movies as well. So it's cool that he's embraced his music side and just being Rockstar Johnny now. So I love it.
I'm not gonna lie, I didn't even think to put this on here. I feel like such an idiot, but you're right. I mean, we've talked about Carpenter enough on the pod here. If anyone is interested in a cup that says directed by John Carpenter, go check out Silk Screams on Instagram. But yeah, that record, it's so fun. I mean, I like that he's, you know, since he's not making movies, he's doing this. You know what I mean? Like, his music is such a, like, his scores are such a huge role in everything. And I think it's cool that he's still bringing stuff like this to his fans, and like, he's constantly putting out new stuff and different packaging, different variants of the vinyl and stuff. As you know, like, we both have the box of that. So really awesome.
For sure. So sick.
But yeah, I didn't even think to put that on here. That's, I'm a little bummed now. What can you do? Can't go back now. All right. So we're in the top three.
Yep.
Top three for me. Number three, Better Lovers, God Made Me an Animal. EP, another EP. Yeah, when you kind of told me, I mean, you're the one who kind of put me on that this was going to be happening, and this little super group with the, you know, Greg and Every Time I Die guys, and it's just, I couldn't tell you how many times I listened to this. I mean, only a few songs, but so impactful. And just, you know, not to sound cheesy again, like, guys who've just been doing it for a long time, who are masters and know how to write
big
fucking
time
music. And look, we talked about, and I know you're going to be talking about them too, so I won't go too far, but the impact that they've already had with just a small bit of touring in this EP is insane. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's, so they hit the ground running. All those years touring with E-Tid and Dillinger, it helped. So
for sure. I mean, like, just veterans, you know what I mean? So, but again, I know you're going to talk about it, so I'm not going to.
That is on my EP list. So.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, yeah, that was number three for me. So number three for you.
Metallica 72 Seasons is my number three.
Top three. I like it.
Again, Table Candy, like, as kind of goofy as they are in their elder years, some of them, I can't help it. I can't help it. They know how to write a riff. They know how to write a song. I know a lot of people, I know a lot of people are trying to write them off as like a dad rock band now. I don't understand that, because Kurt is writing some of the coolest licks since the 80s, I think, now on this record. And Hardwired. And they do have a harder edge to them, I think, that was missing for a long time. And yeah, this one's fucking, it's just fucking awesome. And it feels like big and monumental when Metallica gets ready to put out a record. Like, they do the full unveiling, you know, there's a big tour, there's, it feels the way an album release should be. They're on fucking, you know, they make sure they hit fucking whatever talk shows they got to, and they're talking about the record, and it just feels they still do it the right way as far as releasing a record. And bought this on release day on CD, and yeah, it's fucking awesome. And I listened to it a lot this summer.
Yeah, I mean, Metallica is Metallica for a reason, right? Like, it's not due to not being amazing songwriters, right? And being pioneers. Like,
yep.
We've talked about them before. We know that they're, could be a touchy subject, but yeah, like you said, I mean, those guys know what they're doing. They know how to write music. Obviously, they've progressed with their sound over the years. They put every record as a strong record for sure. Even if you don't like Saint Anger, it's, you know, they know what they're doing, and the hype is real. I mean, they fucking, there's not many bigger bands in the world. You know, there might be solo musicians who are doing big things, but there's not many big bands like this left. You know what I mean? It's almost like when they talk about the last movie stars. You know what I mean?
It's kind of the truth. Exactly. It's so, like, who's gonna play baseball stadiums when Metallica retires? What rock band is going to?
Yeah, I mean, they're not. It's just gonna be Taylor Swift and fucking The Weeknd, and that's it.
Exactly, and it's sad.
Maybe the Foo Fighters, but even them, I won't be around forever. So
I know, sucks.
For sure, for sure. But all right, so number two for me is a band that was already mentioned, another crossover, but it's Koyo, Would You Even Miss It? Yeah, just a big fan of their sound. I like a lot of the music from that scene in Long Island. I'm a big fan of. I like that they have toured and showed respects to some of those other bands. They have a lot of collabs on this record with Daryl Palumbo and Vidi Caruana. I just think it's cool to see younger dudes, putting out this stuff. Again, are they rewriting history? No, but it's like all super catchy. They're great songwriters. I like that they have ties to the scene or whatever. And like when it comes to other bands they play with, and this record is phenomenal, I think. And I'm super excited to see what they do, in the future. Great record. Definitely one of my favorites of the year, and I'm hoping to see them live someday soon. That's for sure.
Yeah, I'm definitely pumped. Have not caught them live yet, but definitely look forward to that big time.
They played a show in Phoenixville here, but I couldn't go to it. We were just watching the videos at your house recently, but that was a bummer. I would have liked to see them in that atmosphere where it's just a small little tiny venue like that. So
Yeah, definitely. That'd be the place to catch them now, 'cause they might be playing bigger places here soon, so.
true. Number two.
My number two is Paramore. This Is Why. Fucking just a pop juggernaut. Every song's fucking great. Super hard to not like this band. I listened to this record a lot, a lot, a lot, a lot, a lot when it came out. It came out in February, so I think I've sat with it more than any record on my list. So maybe that's why. Maybe this is why. This record is number two, but yeah. It's fucking awesome. Super fucking catchy. I don't deny a good hook, no matter what the genre is.
Yeah, I'm all for it. I'm all for it. Now, have they been continuously putting out music the whole time they've been around, or did they take a have they taken like some pretty long hiatuses, or?
They've taken some breaks. She did a solo record in between this record and the last record. And the old drummer came back during the last record, and he was a kid when they were all kids when they started, but the drummer was only like 15 when they were touring,
That's crazy.
back in like 2005 or whatever that first record came out, and I saw them open for the Acceptance band back in the day,
Yeah, I remember that band.
at fucking the Furnace, and that was the first time I saw Paramore, and Paramore had just put out that record. And but anyway, that drummer who the it was him and his brother who was the guitarist. They were both in the band, and then they had both the guitarist left, and then the drummer ended up leaving, and then now the drummer's back. And then they have a longtime guitarist that's in there, as well as like a bunch of backing artists, to fill out the band. That it doesn't sound it, at least I saw him 5 years ago. The last time they did like a tour that came through Syracuse. It didn't sound like they were using tracks, so that's always good, especially when you get a little bit more of a poppier band. They have a lot of musicians on stage with them. So yeah, this band's fucking great. This album's great. Paramore, This Is Why, my number two.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. I guess I didn't realize that you saw him at the Furnace. That's a really cool memory for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I had no clue. They had just like I think I just had a music video out at the time, and that was my frame of reference for seeing
Yeah.
them. I didn't go there to see them. Just they just happened to be opening.
Yeah, like some of these bands that got huge that you've seen like that in weird venues like My Chemical Romance played like Hellfest, and you know what I
Yeah,
mean? Just show
exactly.
Really cool. Nice, man. All right, so we're on the number one. Should we get a drum roll going here? But number one for me is Mutoid Man's Mutants.
Nice, nice.
Just love this band so much. I think it's a little bit of a super group of the three members. I think Stephen Brodsky, I mean, as a genius personally, I think everything, I mean, the dude. Every Cave In, and he playing with the Converge, and he playing with Quicksand and Mutoid Man here and the solo stuff. I just think he's a genius songwriter, and just the three piece. I think it's cool that they're a three piece. But I was super hyped when for this record, the anticipation, and it just their last like. I mean, they don't have this is their fourth record, their fourth full length, but they're all great. But the last two, this one and War Moans, are just, I mean, some of my favorite albums ever. So good, so good musically, just kind of genre bending. So talented, all three of those guys. I was almost going to see them a couple months ago, but one of the members, Jeff Matz, got shingles randomly. So they had to cancel that show, but Mutoid Man, Mutants, my number one of 2023.
Nice. Yeah, I knew you were jamming that record a lot, so I had a feeling it was going to be on your list. That's cool that it's number one, though.
Yeah, man, thanks. I mean, like I said, just kind of like a little super group, and they're a lot of fun. So I hope I do get to see them one day. And you and whoever else, definitely check that record out, because it's a lot of fun. And they have some good guests on that as well. So I know Nate Newton is on there. So
yeah,
pretty cool.
Yeah, for sure. My number one.
Your number one
is another female fronted band. This is Dying Wish's new record, Symptoms of Survival. Love this fucking band. I'm pretty sure 2 years ago when they had their other record out, that record was Fragments of Bitter Memory was my number one album then, and this album is my number one album this year because it is fucking awesome, and I fucking love this band.
Nice. I know that you love them. I've listened to them because you told me to listen to them. I think they're great. I love their throwback sound. I think it's awesome that they're female fronted. That's so sick, man.
Yeah, like super fun band. Seen them live and they were fucking great. Definitely can't wait to hear them on the next time they come around. And yeah, this record's just awesome. They got a good sound going. They got a good trajectory. I think people are picking up on them. And yeah, they did their first full headlining tour this fall to support this record. So really pumped for that band. And pumped for this is a band, like if they would have put out an EP, I would have been pissed. I wanted another full length. So I was
now, is this the second or third full length? This one?
Second full length.
Perfect. That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, they're so sick. I mean, again, we were recently when I was up at your place around the holiday, we were talking about some of these bands that have a throwback sound and kind of reminds us of our early 2000s days, and they definitely have one of those. So
big time.
Awesome shit. And are they a Midwest band?
They are from Portland, Oregon.
Portland, Oregon. That's right. I knew it wasn't the East Coast, so I couldn't remember exactly.
Yeah.
Nice. Like I said, this is always a lot of fun. I'd like to. You have an EP list, you said, right?
Yeah, I do have an EP list.
Let's hear that.
I will. Let's see. So the first one, I don't know if you listen to this, but a friend of mine, Braden, has a band that she sings in called Big Prize, and it's got her husband's in it, and also James from Make Doin' Men plays. I think he plays bass in it.
That's awesome. I listened to it. I know you told me about it, but I have not listened to it.
Yeah, it's called Generations of Scars, and it's awesome. And it literally, like, it brings me back to, like, you know, like the vibe of it just kind of brings me back to, like, the shows I was going to in high school and stuff. And obviously, I've known Braden for a long time, and it's cool that she's singing in a band now. But yeah, this it's a cool little EP. It's awesome. Kind of like
and it's called Big Prize.
Yeah, it's kind of just a straight up like hardcore band, like with some different elements and stuff. It's really cool though.
Nice. You have is there music available on?
Yeah, it's streaming. It's streaming. Yeah,
okay, that for sure. Shout out to Braden.
And so my number four record is a cover record, and it's, I think, predictable. because we talked about it. The Twitching Tongues, Twitch Fits Volume 1, their EP of Misfits covers, recorded live in the pit as the last recording, and unfortunately the last recording of Cale Sane as well, as he passed away recently. Yeah, it's fucking awesome. And I listened to this thing. I think they put it up, I think, Halloween at midnight, and I listened to it all day on Halloween, like, for fucking literally the entire day. I just, it was, for a week, it was on repeat, but that entire day, I didn't listen to anything but this EP on repeat, on repeat, on repeat.
Yeah, it's just been, I'm with you. I mean, I put on my list just strictly because of the, we talked about, like, with the covers, but it's so awesome. Listen to the shit out of it. Same thing with you, just nonstop. Cannot wait to receive the vinyl pretty soon, I think.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. January, they're saying so.
So that should be awesome. And I can't wait, because they're obviously they're going to be doing a volume two.
No,
so that's
yeah.
Going to be like...
Big time. Another throwback sounding band of early 2000s metalcore. This band from Connecticut called Balmora. EP is called With Thorns of Glass and Petals of Grief. This band is fucking amazing, and it sounds like fucking It Dies Today and early As They Dying Before They Sucked. And yeah, just a fucking, they're so fucking sick. They got riffs for days, and they coined themselves as Connecticut straight edge metal, so I can get behind that big
yeah
time.
I mean, again, not on my until I mean I heard the name, but you showed me again when I was at your place recently. I thought they were awesome. Straight throwback for sure. So good.
My number one and two for the EPs is really, 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 really hard. Because I do love the Better Lovers EP so much, and I listen to it so much. It's coming in at my number two. God Made Me an Animal. Able to see these guys their second set, their first night they did a show. They played two sets. I saw the second set. Saw them about a month later in, actually, I take that back, about a week later in Syracuse opening for Under Oath. And then I saw them at their Christmas show, first annual Blissmas in Buffalo. So I've seen them three times this year. They're fucking amazing, and that's fucking EP is amazing, and I can't wait for the full length. But of course, my number one has to be Crown to the Kings, 18 Visions Purgatorio.
Well, I just want to say before you elaborate, if there's any band that would rise above a Better Lovers for you, I can imagine it would be 18 Visions. Yes.
Yeah, that's the only band I think currently that would be able to do that. But yeah, it's second installment of a three album, a three EP series. This is the second of six songs, so 666. Six times three is 18. You get the picture. But yeah, this is fucking awesome. Super dark, of course. The return, the Kings are back, baby, and they're fucking darker and fucking heavier than ever. And this fucking band can do no wrong, and they're fucking perfect. And I've said it a million times. I've had fucking James and Keith on, fucking, and waxed their fucking cars to oblivion. So yeah, 18 Visions Purgatorio EP is fucking by far my favorite EP of the year.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, had a feeling, of course. I know you because you're my brother, and I know that they're your band. So I was just going to, if it was okay, I was just going to rattle off a couple things that I like, a couple like honorable mentions or whatever.
For sure.
Nothing too crazy. Like, well, I was talking about As Friends Rust, that Damien Moyle has banned. Damien Dunn has a record called Total Power I really liked. Obviously, Twitch Fits, Twitching Tongues was cool. Vincent Neil Emerson, again, country Americana dude from Texas, has a record called Golden Crystal Kingdom. That's really cool. And then I also wanted to shout out friends of the pod, Pummeled. Ben and Greg putting out some music. They did a little EP this year.
Yeah.
I really like it. Brings you back to, like, you know, early 2000s, late 90s. It's, you know, poppy. So good. I hope that they put out more music. It's a lot of fun. So Pummeled from the Pittsburgh area. So anyone check them out as well.
Yeah, big time. Super catchy shit for sure.
Heck yeah. Like I said, when we do these, it's always fun. I like the crossover and just, I think you know, the movie one will be even more fun. It should be interesting. It
Yeah, what
wasn't
did
about how strong music was. I don't know if movies were the same this year.
No, definitely not. What did you think of the Foo Fighters' new record? But here we are.
I liked it. I just don't. I don't know. I don't know if it's just like a nostalgia thing. Like I think they're great songwriters. Their newer records just haven't grabbed me as much, I guess. Like there's some songs I think are really good, but I don't know. I just feel like I don't know, there's something about their last couple records that just haven't like really sucked me in. I guess I know it's sad, but.
No, I feel you. I feel you. I like it. Just didn't make the top. But yeah, I guess to close it out, what are you looking forward to? Or is there any records you're looking forward to for next year?
I don't even know, actually, to be completely honest with you. I don't even know what's on my radar that's going to be coming out. I mean, Alkaline Trio, of course, their new record I'm excited for. What Better Lovers has to do, I'm excited for. I'm trying to think of anything else. It's just occurring to me that I think I forgot an Integral record, but I'm not even going to talk about it because I just, you know, it's all good. But yeah, how about you? What are you excited for?
I'm hoping Twitch and Tongues will put out a new record this year.
That'd be awesome.
I have hope that they'll do that, and Better Lovers full length. I look forward to that as well.
Same. That's what I mean. If my phone dies, I apologize to everyone. My
No, it's all
battery
good.
is lower than I thought.
We're wrapping up here anyway, so you can check us out on Spotify and Apple and wherever you get your podcasts, and Instagram is at Hard Guy Media. Hit us up there, and yeah, check this episode out, and let us know what your top albums of the year were. These have been ours, and yeah, this was a fun one, and yeah, we'll be back talking about movies hopefully before the year's end.
Yes, we will, definitely.
All right, everyone, thank you, and yeah, check us out. We'll see you soon.